Let me get to my message this morning. I want to use some scripture out of the Old Testament. And here's what I originally started with. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. That's out of the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, 5-7. I think what I wanted to talk about for a few minutes this morning is that I become concerned as I watch and I see what's going on in our world today. And I'm not just talking about the political aspect of it. I'm talking about the social. I'm talking about our folkways and our mores. And I'm talking about the things that impact each and every one of us and the things that are going on in our world today. And as I look and as I think about them, I realize more and more how close we could be to those end times. Now, some of you may believe we're in the end times, and we may be. I don't make any pretense that I'm not smart enough to know whether or not these are the end times, but all of the indicators, again, according to the word of the Lord that I read and I understand, it wouldn't take much for the Lord to finally look down as he did in the beginning. And I have no doubt that as he looks down today and he sees what all is going on down here, and he does see, he does know, that it must grieve him at the way that we're doing. And yet I read in the word of the Lord where that is exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ described and as he prophesied to his disciples while he was here upon the face of the earth. And they said unto him, Lord, show us when these things, give us a sign, show us when these things will come to pass. And you may remember that the Lord said, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so go back over and you read in the Old Testament what all was going on back in those days. And you see the Bible says that the thoughts and the intents of man's heart were continually evil. And we're living in a day today when it seems to me that we're not really as concerned about the well-being of people as we are the destruction of people. We're just so determined that we're going to have our way, that no matter what it takes, no matter what must happen, we're going to get our way, as the old saying is, come hell or high water. And let me tell you that we as Christians should know better. We should have more of a compassion and an understanding. I'm probably not going to get, I'm going to look at the clock and my time's almost up before I get started here this morning. But we should be a people who are determined that we're going to leave this world a little bit better place than when we got here. We're not going to make a big splash. Don't. You know, there are none of us who are going to gain any amount of notoriety. But we do have the opportunity to live among some of the greatest people there are upon the face of the earth. And I say that in all sincerity. And I'm so thankful. In spite of the fact that sometimes I say, Lord, why do you have me here? I'm so thankful that I am here and that I live among this people. And I have the opportunity to be with these people and to help once in a while. And my desire still is not to hurt people, but to help people. There is enough hurt. And there is hardly a day goes by than what there are some of our people who are experiencing some type of hurt. It isn't something that we all always know about. I appreciate the fact that once in a while, just as Sherry did this morning, you know, and she said something about Velma, you know, we don't have to know all the details to be able to say we can pray for her. That, now, I know there are some people who they like to know every little bit of detail that they can, and if they don't know them, well, then it's not worth their time. You don't need to know every single thing about me. You don't need to know what color of a shirt I've got on yesterday or what I'll have on tomorrow. And what you need to know is I'm probably going to need the Lord's help. I needed him yesterday. I'll need him tomorrow. And we need to be concerned about people, and that we need to care enough about them. We need to love them enough to say, you know, I want to help them however I can. However I can. There are people here this morning, I'm sure, who have struggles in their own lives. Do I know them? No, I don't know. I don't even know now who I'm talking about. But I don't need to know. The Lord knows each and every one of our hearts and every one of our lives. And He knows what each one of us need. But let me assure you this morning that we're not exempt from being some of those people who can have those continual thoughts of evil and can have those continual things that are not pleasing unto the Lord. It's not His responsibility for us to get back to Him. It is our responsibility to get back to Him. He did not go away from us. We went away from Him. He did not forsake us. We've decided that we can get along without Him. We don't need Him. And we're doing pretty well. But I will guarantee you that just that quickly, that can change. And it changes in people's lives. And Paul wrote and said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual. So some of you who are spiritual, we need to be sure that we're helping people and that we're not hurting people. We need to be sure that we're encouraging the people rather than being critical of people. Now, what I really wanted to get to this morning is to talk a little bit about when the Lord, after He had looked down and He saw all of the misery that was going on here in the earth, and after the fact that He had decided that He was going to destroy man from off the face of the earth, He looked down and He saw an old boy down here who was just dilly-dallying along, but he found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him, and He said, I'm going to destroy man whom I've created in the face of the earth, but you found grace in my sight. Noah, I'm going to spare you and your family. But for me to spare you, there are some things that are going to be necessary for you to do. And when I tell you what I want you to do, then you're going to have to do them exactly like I tell you, or you will be destroyed with the rest of them. God hasn't changed today. He still tells us exactly what we need to do to escape destruction. And we have to do it exactly the way that He says, not just kind of the way, well, I think that would be about right. Or I think maybe I could put a little something else on the ark there instead of what He said to do. Or I'm thinking maybe that I'll take in instead of two of a kind and seven of those who are clean. You know, we always hear about taking them in two by two. I don't hardly ever remember hearing anybody talk about them going in by sevens. You know that? Yeah. There were 10 groups of animals that went in by sevens. Now, it's kind of interesting that they went in by sevens because that left one to be an odd. And so I was thinking about that a little, Bart, and I was wondering, now why in the world would he took them in male and female, but then there had to be either one more female or one more male, and I didn't get this checked out. I should have. I think I know which it was. I think it's the male. But there was a reason that God did that. See, God just doesn't happenstance in anything. God, whenever He does something, He always does it. Now, I may be wrong in my thinking here at this point in time, so when you go home and check this out, you say, oh, preacher was wrong this time. I've already admitted to you that I didn't carry it all the way through as I should have. But you know why I think that He took seven of those clean beasts? Because as soon as Noah came off the ark, the first thing he did was offered up a sacrifice. Yeah. Yeah. And so if he'd have taken and just one of the two, there wouldn't have been any left for procreation. But he didn't do that. You know, God looks so far ahead of us that it's just unbelievable to me. So the first thing Noah did when he came off the ark was he offered up a sacrifice. So he had to have some animals there to do it. So, well, he had all those others he could have done. No. God says very specifically what he wants sacrificed unto him, what is able to be sacrificed, and it takes a clean animal, a clean beast. Now that's why there were seven clean beasts that went in instead of just two by twos. Now I'm not telling you anything that I'm smarter than you are. Y'all have read this, you should know that. But listen, the important thing is to understand that God said, I'm going to place you in that ark. You go and you build it. You do what I tell you to do. And then when it's time for you to go in, I'll tell you how I want you to go in. I'll tell you who's going to go in. I'll tell you why you're going to go in, when to go in, the whole bit. And then the Bible says that after that God had spent that time with Noah and sent him out there to do the work, and Noah went out there and he went working along there. And the Bible, you have to have the New Testament now to get this. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So while he was out there building the ark, he was also doing some preaching. Then that must have made him bivocational. Isn't that a nice fancy word that we love to use today about being bivocational? That's for preachers who work as well as preach, you know. Now, don't you ever think for a minute preaching is not work. If any of you think it isn't, well, come on up here. I'll open the pulpit for you next Sunday morning. I'll give you a week to prepare for your message. And then you can come up here and deliver it. And I guarantee you that when you get through, you're going to say, man, I'm glad that's over with. No, I'm just being kidding you. Do what I tell you to do, Noah. And then, when the time was right, and everything was in readiness, Noah, get into the ark. And when they got in the ark, the Bible very clearly says, and the Lord shut to the door. The Lord shut the door. Noah didn't shut it. The Lord shut it. You know why I believe that was the case? Because I'm going to guarantee you, when those people begin to knock on that door and they begin to pound that ark to get in, old Noah would open the door and let somebody in because he'd have been feeling sorry for somebody out there. The Lord didn't open the door for them because they'd waited until it was too late. If you think for one second that whenever the Lord finally says, that's enough. Now, he promised, we all know this, he's not going to destroy it again by water, but he's going to destroy it by fire one of these days. But I guarantee you, before he sends that destruction upon the earth, he's going to send and say, okay, gather all of my elect together, get them out of there. There's not going to be a one of them who's going to suffer during the destruction that's going to come upon the earth. Those who are in the ark of safety, Jesus Christ, take them out of there. And when he takes the last one out, I'll guarantee you those who are left are going to experience the damnation of hell. They're going to see the destruction like they've never seen before. And they're going to cry for death to overtake them, and it will not come. That's horrible. Horrible. The Lord shut the door. Those who were in there had listened to what he said. They had heeded the warning. And those who were outside had had the warning because the Bible says Noah had preached to them. And they didn't heed it. That's what's going to happen, people. The only time that you and I have to warn people about the destruction that's going to happen in their lives is right now. Right now. Today. That's all we've got.